You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And welcome to the month of July. This is Bob Arthurs from Merritt Assembly of God. We want to welcome you to the Refresh radio program today. Thank you for joining us, and we're going to dive into Ephesians chapter 6 here in just a moment, where we're talking about praying and becoming more devoted in our communication with God. I want to say thank you today to the folks at Wyrick Air. Wyrick Air is based in Rockledge, Florida, but they travel all throughout Brevard County. They have been for 5 decades providing professional sales, services, and repairs for air conditioning systems. Hallelujah, air conditioning makes Florida tolerable. Heating, there are some people that need that. You know, we need heat once or twice a year. But I will tell you that when I first came to Merritt Assembly of God, the first Sunday, it was 52 degrees in the sanctuary. So I am thankful that heat is available as well. They also work in electrical issues. And if they work primarily in residential settings, but do some light commercial settings as well. For their customers, they also provide emergency service when necessary. They strive to provide you with the best service possible and an affordable price. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. License numbers are RA0066854 and EC13002439. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. I'd like to thank Dennis and Carla for having me up at their church this last weekend, where I was able to preach a Saturday night revival meeting for them. And we're thankful that they don't just bring the Word of God to the pulpit, but they bring the Word of God into their business practices as well. And we want to thank them for being friends of the Refresh radio program. So today we're going back to Ephesians chapter 6. On yesterday's program, we had talked about and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We talked about the Word of God is not just for preaching. It's not just for studying, but it is part of our spiritual arsenal as well. And so if we want to understand the Word of God, we need to be sitting under the ministry of people who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't let the world define the Word of God for me. I want the author of the Word, Jesus, and I want the Spirit of the Word, the Holy Spirit, to be the one that brings me to that place of understanding the Word of God and what it means in my life. And so if you do not have a pastor, maybe you're new to the area, we'd like to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God. We're located right in the heart of the Merritt Park Place subdivision from back. That was what it was known as in the 1950s. That was before my time. But we're 2 blocks north of 520. We're 2 blocks west of Courtney Parkway. We're on the corner of Grove and Tangerine. There's a couple of places that are pretty well known in the area. Ola's Cuban Kitchen is H-O-L-A is right across the street. And so if you've eaten there, you may have parked right in front of our church and not known it. If you've availed yourself of the parking, come on in and check out the Word of God. We would be thrilled to have you worship with us. And we'll try and make the spiritual feast as good as the physical feast that you ate at the restaurant across the street. So let's get into the Word, shall we? Begin reading verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we're coming to this passage. We're really concluding. We haven't concluded yet the topic of put on the full armor of God. We have talked about that it's designed to get us to stand, that we need to be girded with around our waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And by the way, my mind does some crazy things in the middle of the night whenever I wake up, but you know, with all of the missiles and things that have been launched, and a lot of times those are launched in the nighttime, and I don't know about you, but I was fascinated watching the defense mechanism, the Iron Dome and the other defense systems there, that the trajectory and the speed at which weaponry was designed to intercept what I likened to fiery darts that were meant to destroy, and yet there was defense technology that was there. And I said, God, I want to thank you for the shield of faith, that no matter how many or how large or how intense, that God, the shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And a lot of people think that that's where the armor ends, but that is not the case. The centurion that was standing there while Paul was writing this letter, more than likely, he was in communication with his superior officers. He was positioned by somebody who said, this is where you're supposed to be. This is why you're supposed to be there. This is what you are to do while you are there. And so if there was a commander on site, they would be giving those same type of instructions to the soldiers under their jurisdiction and under their authority. So prayer is the communication system that we have that keeps us in touch with our commander in chief. And I tell you, life is a lot better when you talk to God. Life is hard. Life without Jesus is harder. Figuring out life is hard on your own. It's a whole lot easier when you're talking to the one who created you for a specific purpose and a specific time, and knowing what he wants and expects from you. Talking to God, praying, is the weapon, or is one of the weapons that the church has been given, and yet it's one that we struggle to utilize. And if you've been listening to us as we've been teaching on becoming more devoted to prayer, it's not just about presenting a list of needs, though we do that. But it is also about praying the Word of God. It's about finding out what God wants to change in us. So you talk to any employer, you talk to just about anybody in society and ask them if there's anything that they would like to change in someone else, someone else's behavior, whether you'd want them to make their priorities different, whether you'd want them to start coming to church, if you want them to quit being addicted to substances, things like that. make better financial decisions, make better relational decisions. Everybody out there has something that they would like to see other people change. I want to, you know, if you can embrace that, because a lot of times we're very good at vocalizing the things about other people that displease us. Now I want to flip the script just a little bit, and I want to ask you, is there anything that in our conversation with God that God would speak to us about changing in us? And all of a sudden, whenever we start talking in those specifics, we don't want to talk about them much. People don't like change, and they don't like to change. I find that my body doesn't really like to change. It likes to change and add more pounds to it, but you know, the goal of reducing poundage, it fights that with everything inside of it. And I think that there are some things that when I've prayed that God puts his finger on and says, can we change this? I know I want to change it, but will you let me change that? So the Bible says that we are supposed to humble ourselves. A lot of times we think of humbling as something that God does to unbelievers, but really the instruction to humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord was given to the church. Because God hates pride in the church just as much as he hates pride outside of the church. And so if we will humble ourselves, if we will say, God, I'm submitting myself to you for change, then God will start speaking to us because he knows what is going on in our life more than what we know is going on in our life. And so I know I'm very transparent when it comes to sharing with our congregation. And I've shared with them how one time I was at the church. I was doing something up on the platform. I don't really remember what it was. And then all of a sudden God spoke to me and said, you need to repent of that. And it was, you know, it wasn't anything big or huge or anything like that. It might have just been an attitude that I had at the moment. I don't really remember what the topic was, but God said, I want you to repent of that. And my first reaction was, you got to be kidding me. With all of the things, this goes back 10, 15 years, I don't even remember how long. I said, with all of the things that are going on in the world and the horrific way that people are treating, and you want me to repent of that little thing? And God spoke to me and he said, is that the way that you really want me to deal with you in your life? Is you want me to ignore things while they're small because small things grow? Or do you want me to wait to deal with it until it becomes a big problem? Or do you just want to deal with it right now where I can deal with it with my still small voice? And I said, God, let's deal with it your way. And so I did. I repented of it. It wasn't anything that would make headlines anywhere around the world. It would make headlines in your neighborhood newspaper, but it was important enough to God that when I was in communication with him, he said, let's change it. and I came around to the position and said, yes, sir, let's change that. Here, it talks about prayer as praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The word all or always is used four different times in this area. It says praying always, and that word means always or all, with all prayer. It goes on and it says, and supplication, or with all perseverance. That's how we're supposed to pray. And supplication for all the saints. There's four different things. And so let's look at that first one. How do we pray always? There are several monumental prayers that I've been in communication with God about that have been taking place while activity was going on. What I mean by that was back in 2006, 2005, 2006, I believe it was 2006, I was painting the church and I was up on a ladder and I was talking with God and God answered while I was praying. And the end result of that prayer is, how many times do you want to go around this mountain? I said, God, I only want to go around this mountain one time. I repented of what he revealed to me, which was that I had tried to boss him around instead of listening to his voice and finding out what he wanted me to do. I had reversed roles. I've had a number of people through the years that said, well, that's the way that I do. I tell God what I need done all the time. And I said, well, that's not what God wanted for me. And, you know, I'm not their judge, but I know this. I'm not, when God tells me no, I don't care how many people tell me yes. There was another prayer, and this one didn't have to do with personal correction. This had to do with finding out what God's will was. And it was in a pressure-cooked season of life where there were different options that were before us, and we were trying to find out, you know, God, do you want us to move or do you want us to stay? And I was out mowing the grass on, I believe it was a Friday night. And while I was mowing, God spoke to me. Praying always does not mean that you are on your knees praying all the time. You can be praying while you're driving down the road. You can be praying while you're washing the dishes. You can be praying while you're changing a baby's diapers. You can be praying in church. You can be praying at home. You know, there are some countries right now that are trying to implement thought policing and say, well, this is a place where you cannot even pray silently in your heart. And I would tell you that you can do that in a way that is not going to draw any attention to yourself. Praying is not about people looking at you. It's about getting into the presence of God and finding out what God has to say about the situation. By the way, Ed Silvoso, back in the 1990s, he made this statement. I don't know if it originated with him or if it originated with someone else, but he was the first one that I heard say it. He said, before you talk to your neighbor about God, talk to God about your neighbor. In other words, prayer changes the atmosphere. And so he says, praying always with all prayer. So the first word, praying, that's a verb. It's action. Always tells us how we are supposed to do that. And then it says all prayer. That's basically the same root word where it was a verb in the first part of verse number 18. Now it's a noun here in the second part. And so it says, praying always with all prayer. With all prayer. So there's different types of communication. So whenever I go to my kids, they're all adults now. When they hit 18, the way that I dealt with them changed. I treated them like adults. But sometimes that patch gets a little bumpy. And so when they were growing up, I had this saying, I suppose you're wondering why I called this meeting. And so that's one of those dad groaner lines. But my youngest daughter, when she got married, I was walking her down the aisle, but I was going to be performing the ceremony. And so my son stepped up and he did the first part of the wedding ceremony until I said, you know, her mother and I are the ones that give her to, you know, be this man's wife. And so he opened the ceremony. I suppose you're wondering why I called this meeting. And so that's something that meant something to all of my kids because it was something that had been routine communication. Now, when they became 18, I would say things like this to them. I need to talk to you. And almost without exception, all of my children, whenever I say that, their response is, am I in trouble? I said, no, you're not in trouble. I mean, I can speak to some of those areas if you'd like, but the only time whenever I talk to you, it's not always about bringing correction in your life. So when my wife and I talk, we don't just talk about, you know, church things. My wife works here in Brevard County. She works full time. We, you know, there are times that she comes home and she's like just beat down from the day. She doesn't want to talk about work all the time. I don't want to talk about work all the time. There are times that we talk about family matters with our kids, with our grandkids and things like that. But there are other times where we just have conversation between us. And sometimes, in fact, in the month of June, I had more belly laughs, to laughing to the point that my abs hurt more from laughing than they do from the ab exercises that I do pretty regularly. But where she and I were just talking, and you know, I think that life as a believer is about experiencing the joy of the Lord. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I believe that if you're a Christian, your face ought to show it. And so there were just things, and I'll say this about laughing too. I think that comedians, who the only way that they can get a laugh is to tell something crude or use bad words and vulgar language, I think that's lazy. I really do. I think that is a horrible way to do to bring humor into people's lives. You know, most of the time, the things that we laugh at are just, you know, fun things. And so prayer is communication. You can pray all of the time, and you can use different manner of praying. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now, that word supplication, It means that you are making a request or a plea. You are petitioning God. This word in the New Testament never refers to something that we are making a petition of to someone else. Now, this is an important element in our prayer life because we're supposed to ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, but the purpose is to find. And so whenever we are making our request known to God, it ought to be accompanied by gratitude for having access to the Father, thankful that we've been forgiven of our sins, using that time to worship Him because He is a holy God and is absolutely without flaw, that, you know, He's given us His Word, He's given us health, He's given us the ability to create wealth or produce wealth, He's given us soundness of mind. There's so much that you can thank God for. Don't just rush into, hey, I'm out of breath, I'm running here, I need this, and got to go, bye. That's the way a lot of people's prayer life is. Spend some time in the presence of God talking, and you can make your petitions known, but spend some time and thank God that you are able to access Him as your Heavenly Father. And it says that supplication needs to be in the Spirit. You can pray in your native language, but don't forget that God's given us the gifts of the Spirit and that there's heavenly languages that God makes available to us as well. The great thing about praying under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, even when you're praying in English, is that the Holy Spirit knows the Word, so those prayers are not going to violate the Word, that the Holy Spirit prays in accordance with the will of God. And so along with the Holy Spirit interceding for us and Jesus interceding for us, we can know that we are praying in accordance with the will of God. So don't just pray in crisis. Pray when there is a spiritual battle going on. Pray when there's the need for the spiritual to come forth. It really should be communication that comes from our spirit to the throne room of heaven, and I pray that you would do that. Let me close out with saying this. My battle strategy is simple. I want to use everything that God has put into my heavenly arsenal. Our enemy is very real, as are his fiery darts. Our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Let's use the weapon of prayer. See you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.